I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotchy, scotch, scotch. Here it goes down, down into my belly. Mm-mm-mm.
It'll make you so.
Ah, we had a fucking.
Ow, now, brown cow. Ow, now, brown cow. Ah, ah, ah. Oh, my God. Ah. All right, I'm ready.
He might have just come.
Oh, shit. Yeah, welcome to episode number 16 of the Digital Crack Podcast, providing you fix to your gaming addiction. I'm your host, as always, Reaper. And, of course, joining us on the show today, the grumpiest man on the planet, Grubby Joe.
Good Lord, how do I follow that up?
I don't know. Jesus. I don't know.
What's up, everybody? Today's show, sponsored by Glenlivet's.
Glenlivet's. Smooth. And, of course, the man of 1,002 voices now, Punisher.
Hey, everybody. Before I put Punisher on, I just want to come on and say, everybody, thank you for listening to us.
The what? Just keep going. Just keep going. Cause now we're not
too much. I also wanted to give a shout out to Envious, who is an amazing cosplayer, just like the Swar is. Thank you, ladies. Love you much. Back to you.
And of course, our old school gaming specialist, Uncle Willie. What's going on?
Doing good. Doing good. Just letting everybody know, today's podcast is sponsored by the Centers for Disease Control, because we're not sick.
I'm just a horny toad.
No mosquitoes here. No mosquitoes here.
Oh, my God. Off the rails 3 seconds in.
Anyway.
Of course. Now, time for this week in gaming news. Nintendo is getting a new mobile game. What do we think about this shit?
Joe?
Put down your cup of Glenlivet and let us know what you think.
Take a good twig first. You're gonna need
all
it.
All right, hold on. First of all, no, this is becoming a clusterfuck.
Fuck, bro. This is why alcohol is not good. Anyways.
All right, listen. All right. What the fuck is Nintendo doing giving me something that I'm not asking for? Again, no one wants a social game of a fucking me avatar so I can put it on my phone and share it with my friends. What the fuck are they doing? No one is asking for this. Give us a good mobile game or don't give us anything. Enough of this bullshit Nintendo crap.
Brought to you by Glenlivet.
I don't have anything to add except, I don't want this shit.
I completely agree with that. And, of course, you got Call of Duty Black Ops 3. The map pack release happened today. You got 4 new maps and a new zombie map. You got what? Gauntlet, Splash, Rise, and Skyjacks. Is anybody other than Joe, because he hates that fucking game, excited about this?
I'm all right with it, I guess. I mean, I'll give it a shot. I mean,
for the record,
I just don't want to get massacred in the fucking face, but I want to give it a shot. I want to play in the fucking theme park.
For the record, I don't hate the game. I'm just tired of the game. I'm moved on.
Go pick up
Rainbow Six Siege.
And this is brought to you by Trojans. If you want to get fucked by Trojans.
Jesus Christ. Okay, sure.
Hey. We got a ton of sponsors this week. Anyways, this news is actually interesting. GameStop, obviously, because they're doing fucking bad, they closed all the Puerto Rico stores, and now they're doing the publishing for Insomniac's new game, Song of the Deep.
Which this one is interesting, yes.
Looks really good, too.
It is interesting. It's a new dynamic for GameStop getting into the publishing business, and a thing where GameStop has no control over the game, just over the marketing of it.
I'm wondering how they're making their money on that end.
Is this the end of GameStop? They're just trying to figure out, hey, like maybe our brick-and-mortar stores aren't really going to cut it. Maybe we need to start publishing some games here and give this a shot, see how it works out.
Well, I think with all the digital content that's coming out, everybody's moving in that direction. And I think, brick-and-mortar stores, except for like the bigwigs at Best Buy, are going to actually like come out on top.
Well, even Best Buy. I think Best Buy is only hanging on because they have that Gamers Club 20% off shit. That's the only reason that I even go buy a game over there. So
Best Buy has a different thing, though. They have more other things to offer people, and games are just one other thing to get people into the store.
Correct.
They want to get bodies in the store. The GameStop, I mean, other than buying used iPads, what are you going to do?
I got nothing. I mean, I'm a big Insomniac fan. I love Ratchet and Clank. I love Resistance. I even like the X1 Sunset Overdrive game.
That was a good game.
I think they make awesome games.
They do.
No, I'm very excited.
Except for Fuse. Fuse was a piece of shit. But everything else that they've made is good, so I think this game is going to do good, too. I don't know what GameStop is going to make off of it. I guess having the exclusive physical disc that no one else is going to have, I guess if people still want to buy digital. I mean, I buy digital, but I buy digital AAA games. I don't really go to save some money. I'm not going to GameStop to buy a downloadable $15 game that I can just get off the PSN and just be done with it.
But it's going to be an interesting experiment because you can still get the game digitally. It'll still be available on Xbox Live and PSN. It's just for physical sales that you go to GameStop.
So what are they making on this? Like, what, $5 on the game? $10 the Insomniac?
I mean, probably make about that much on games now.
Not even. I think the margin is like $3.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Is it that low? I think
it's low. No, where they make their money is off their used games.
Yes, that's why
that's their bread and butter. Much. But they gotta make more than $3.
No, it's about $3.
But probably less.
The margin's really small.
I wouldn't even carry the game for $3. It's pointless.
Gotta do it.
Yeah. Well, we also got this news was actually pretty awesome. It will not have a booth at this year's E3.
I don't think that it's as big of a deal as everybody makes it out to be. I mean,
I think it's a big deal.
I completely disagree with you on that one. But go ahead, finish.
I think it's a big deal.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. You've already seen other developers, other publishers do their own things beforehand too, and then supplement the show with their stuff later on. So it's not a terribly big deal. Like, truthfully, does anybody stick around to hear what EA has to say?
Yes.
Yes, actually.
But guess what? The majority of their announcements are made by either Sony or Microsoft.
That's fine, but they still have... even though we're not the biggest fans of EA, they still publish some of the biggest games out there.
Great. So like, next boxing title. Boxing title, I get the privilege of hearing Evander Holyfield come out and stutter for 3 or 5 minutes talking about a boxing game.
No, but that's fine. But let's remove that boxing game for a minute and let's talk about, hey, we got Plants vs. Zombies 2, we got Mirror's Edge, we got Battlefield. You know everybody wants to play Battlefield.
I guarantee you.
Okay. Everybody wants to play Titanfall. Everybody wants to play Mass Effect.
Mass Effect, yeah.
So they got big-ass games, so this is big.
I am willing to guarantee you that Microsoft will come out and say, we have a timed exclusive deal. Play as a special orange plant in Plants vs. Zombies for EA. And then Sony will come up and say, oh, yeah? Well, we have a super shiny special gun in Battlefield. The games are going to be hyped up before EA.
Well, Battlefield's huge, period. Battlefield is huge. Hardline was kind of mediocre, and everybody's waiting for that next Battlefield. And it looks like they're kind of stretching towards the futuristic side.
Remember when World War II was a good thing for first-person shooters?
Oh, it was a great thing.
Now we're like, World War VII?
Somewhere on there. Okay.
All right, but let me say state another reason why I also think this is big. This is essentially EA removing the media and saying it's time to put the game directly in the consumer's hands and let them decide.
Exactly.
No more middleman. Essentially, which is kind of like us, where we're kind of like a middle delivering information to an audience. But nowadays, it's so easy to get this content on YouTube, on Twitch, on a podcast. They're just like... they're going to speak to you directly. I think it's big time. I think this is just the beginning of EA, then Activision, and then Sony, and then Microsoft, and Nintendo, which has already been doing it. They're just going to start following suit. E3 is going to be a public event, a public spectacle in about 2 or 3 years, mark my words.
I mean, it should be, because pretty much most of the media, I mean...
It should be, but it's not.
It should be. It completely should be.
E3 has become a thing where major media gets to go to some place and feel super important because they feel like everybody's courting them. It's no longer about the developers and publishers. It's about the media that goes over there and talks about it. It's fine that EA wants to go and do their own thing, but again, like you said, Nintendo's already doing it. I don't see anybody throwing very big farts about Nintendo doing it. Bethesda did it last year. I don't see anybody saying, whoop-de-doo.
You know, talking about...
next phase.
Anyways, I wanted to go back into the EA thing for a second. Is this the year of EA?
Well, you know what? It looks like it.
I mean, that lineup. Look at that lineup.
Okay.
That's not even the games that are there. That's just a portion of them. That's not even including the other games that are going to make money.
Wait, is Titanfall 2 coming out this year or next year?
This is probably not going to go up against Battlefield 5, so it'll come up.
It's coming out 2017.
It'll probably be 2017.
Yeah. It's just going to probably be just on March. That's it'll all it's going to be.
It's going to come out between October 1st and March 31st, which is the fourth quarter for them.
The only game on this list that's really intriguing is Mirror's Edge Catalyst, because I like the original one so much.
Really?
You know what it is?
Mass Effect, Titanfall, and Battlefield.
Don't get me wrong. Like
Oh, wait, Titanfall? Really? A multiplayer only where people run around for mechs and 2 weeks later get bored and play something else? I'm supposed to get excited about this?
I had a lot of fun with that game.
It's a great game. But...
No, I get it, but it's a good game.
It was a great game, but it had no retention.
Let's put it this. Mirror's Edge, to me, it was a lot of parkour. Very cool. Very beautiful.
Very aesthetically.
But if I can't fucking shoot somebody, it gets kind of like redundant just running around and doing the same fucking thing over and over again.
I get that. But I think it was a very intriguing game, and I want to see what they're bringing to that. Everything else, you know what you're getting. Battlefield 5, shoot him in the face. Titanfall 2, step on him. Plants vs. Zombies, plants and zombies.
And that game I'm actually looking forward to.
I don't know. Willie's down on EA. I think they have a good lineup this year.
I mean, for E3, I mean, Bethesda, what games do we think are actually going to come out? Like, they're going to announce.
They're going to talk more Doom. They're going to talk more Dishonored 2.
Dishonored 2, yep.
And
I'm pretty sure they're going to bring up the Fallout DLCs and the mods that they're going to probably bring into.
I think that's Xbox what they're going to highlight. Yeah.
They're going to hype that up, especially the ability to add mods to on Xbox One.
Yeah.
But past that, I still say Elder Scrolls.
Elder Scrolls. But the online game or a brand new
entry? No, the online game died. Well, it's pretty.
No, good. It's still going.
But it's not. It's there's nothing there. But I mean, I would love for them to come.
A new Wolfenstein game.
That would be awesome.
That'd be nice. Wolfenstein's a good series. I like that series.
I like Wolfenstein.
But they would absolutely blow everybody's mind if they came up and announced another Elder Scrolls game, even if it didn't come out this year. Just announcing it. People would pee on themselves.
Another Skyrim, something like that.
Yes.
But moving on from that, you got the Division beta was this weekend. And we had a lot of mixed reviews amongst us about the game and what we thought of it. So, Willie, I'm going to let you start. And let me know what you think.
I still say Division New York. I mean, I'm sorry, Destiny New York.
Destiny New York?
I still say Destiny New York, which is not bad. I mean, Destiny has its fans, and Destiny has its following, and the MMO mechanics are... We'll
talk about that later.
Yeah, but, you know, do we really want another Destiny game just in the United States?
I mean, my biggest pet peeve with it was everybody's a fucking bullet sponge.
Well, yeah.
You walk up to someone and shoot them in the face, and nothing happens. Like, you got to shoot them like 40 times in the face for them to go down. And that just doesn't make sense.
And another point that I like, which is one that Joe brought up, which makes a lot of sense, they didn't give you enough to explore to really see what the world's about.
Right.
So you can get immersed in it. You're just, you know, you're playing around. They're holding you by the hand. They're pulling you out certain areas. No, you can't go there yet. And it's true what he says. You get immersed when you're able to explore.
Joe, any thoughts?
I played very little of it, and I decided that I don't want to play any more of it. And you guys are making me kind of regret my pre-order on it because I have this game pre-ordered and I'm a little bit nervous on it. I don't want to play the beta. Yeah, the thing is, with Destiny, I played a shit ton of alpha and a shit ton of beta. And then when I got the game, I'm like, I already did this part and I did this and I did this. And it wasn't new. It didn't feel fresh to me. So early on, I decided I don't want to do this anymore.
I mean, it looks like it has potential. So, but the only thing is, there wasn't enough people to shoot. There was a lot of fucking running. Lots of fucking running. To get to a place on the GPS, you had to run for fucking ever. And half the time, I didn't see anybody. Like, I'm hoping that they're going to, you know, engage you more when you're running from, you know, place to place and stuff like that. But as of right now, I'm giving it a thumbs down.
Look, I didn't get to experience the Dark Zone stuff. So, like I said, I quit it very early on.
I mean, the Dark Zone stuff is cool.
Maybe if I would have had more time with that. But it looks that part of it is very compelling, where if I can go in there with my squad and find some loot, and then for me to keep that loot, I got to decontaminate it and extract it with a helicopter. Right, you don't know who's going to go rogue. That's a very compelling...
I mean, that was the PvP, best part of the whole game. That was the best
PvP
part.
That's very compelling, and I think that could be the game changer there.
But we'll see. Time will tell, like every other game. But let's see. They also have there's a rumor going around that it's going to have an open beta.
Somewhere around February 16th and 21st, around there. That's what I'm hearing, that there's going to be an open beta coming soon. I guess it's going to be fine. Hopefully they do some, I guess, more mods or something before that time comes out.
I'm hoping that they open up more of the game, not just so you can see more of it, but if you're going to do a beta to test the servers and test performance, give people more areas to run around in.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Are you going back into it then a second go-around?
Yes.
I'm going to give it a second shot. I mean, I didn't accept the fact that if I shoot somebody in the fucking head, I expect them to die, not take 4, 5, 6 fucking 100 shots in their head, and they look at me like if I'm retarded. No.
Maybe you're aiming wrong.
Yeah, sure. Sure, because, you know, right between the eyes does not matter.
Maybe it's an Apple machine gun.
It could be.
You're holding it wrong.
A game that doesn't have that problem, Rainbow Six Siege. It just got an update today. So by the time everybody hears this, the update's already out there. This is a game that actually, like, just hit me with a big surprise because the beta, I thought the beta was okay.
Yeah, I also thought
the actual gameplay, like, yeah, you shoot someone in the head and they go down. That's not even an issue in this game.
It just feels right. This game, to I've been playing it with Reaper, and this game, it just feels fresh. It's something different, man. It's totally changing the pace and throwing out the rule book of our modern day run and gun shooters.
And the free maps. Free fucking maps.
Yeah. That's how you keep a community from being divided. You just give everybody free maps, and everybody's, you know, like, no worry if you didn't buy a season pass. It's all right. You're fine. You're going to get new maps. Now, yeah, you're not going to get the operators. You can still unlock those. You can get those earlier with access to the season pass, but it's not mandatory. The only thing I don't like about this game is that they are kind of forcing the, if you do fall in love with a particular gun's skin
yeah,
camo, they're making you, some of them are exclusive to microtransactions and real world money. So other than that, that's my only downfall in the game. The gameplay is intense. It's awesome. The terrorist hunt is awesome. And it's really refreshing to see a first-person shooter do this.
No, absolutely. I'm very proud of my Rainbow Six guys.
I haven't gotten into this game nearly as much as you guys have. I think, I played one time, died really quick, and decided, you know what, let me go back to my racing games. but I agree with Joe in that it's good that they're giving out the maps for free. The one way you can fragment the user base is to hide maps behind a paywall, and that's not good for any kind of online community.
No, absolutely.
Microtransactions, I mean, whatever. At least they're just using it for skins and not for actual power.
Correct. Yeah, you can still get your regular loadouts by pretty much grinding in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
But in other news, anyways, The Witness is being pirated to the point that developer Jonathan Blow said it could affect the development of future titles. Like, he actually had an interview talking about this a couple days ago, and then the numbers came out.
Yeah.
It's two different stories that came out. So he was bitching about everybody pirating because he put in his own money, and now he's not going to be able to make the next game. Then the numbers come out, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to make the next game even nicer.
Yeah. Yeah, a little conflicting there. But yeah, that was before the numbers were released.
Before he got that.
I could understand his concern. You know, your game is popular, your game is trending now, and all of a sudden you look at one of your torrent sites and it's the number one downloaded game. So yeah, it's not Braid. This game costs money to make. This game costs about $5-6 million to make.
And it was over budget.
It was over budget. Yeah. Actually, this one, he did borrow money for this one. He didn't borrow money for Braid. Braid he made on his own.
Yeah, Braid was, and that was an amazing game.
And if you want to see how he made it,
and this one he actually had to borrow some money because it went over budget.
Yeah.
And like I was saying before, I was cut off by Grumpy Joe over there. If you actually want to see how he made the game, there's a great movie on Netflix. It's called Indie Games. You should check it out. It also has the guys who developed Meat Boy and Fez.
Let's not talk about Fez.
Let's not talk about him. I don't like that developer at all.
No, let's not talk about him.
Pussy!
Anyway, so, Bungie.
What was the story with him? I forgot why people hate him.
He's an idiot?
Yeah, he's a cocky... I don't like the guy. I don't like his personality.
Freak!
It took him like 6 years to make the game. But in other news, Bungie. Oh, shit. So, Bungie's president steps down, Harold Ryan, and now they're having problems holding on to their pretty much Destiny players.
Yeah, I got a survey in my email. It says, why haven't you been playing Destiny, or what was the reason keeping you away?
I got that too. And I got that same.
It gives you like 10 options. Like, is it because the end game content is not good enough? Are you playing other games? Did you not like the PvP? Like, a bunch of things, and I'm like, So you can tell the community's kind of put it down.
Let's put it this. My brother, Freak, who was our Destiny specialist on the show, and lived and died by Destiny, I see him on all the time now, but he's playing Grand Theft Auto 5 online. So I got to the point where he stopped playing Destiny, and then you got to wait for the next content to come out, and now they're talking about doing Destiny 2, and I mean, come on.
Rumor has it that Destiny 2 is not even ready.
And there you go. So, Bungie, that's where you fucked up.
This is the thing. I don't care. Don't give me, like, their next update is Valentine's Day update. I don't care for the Sparrow Racing League. I don't care about the Halloween candy. I don't care about the Valentine's Day shit coming up.
Don't give a shit.
You know what? Just give me the content. I'll pay for it when it comes out. Instead, they wanted to do some free model shit and do the microtransactions and buy the dance moves, and that shit's not working out. Activision is fucking breathing down their necks, and people are like, dude, we need another game. People are going to leave us, and now they're worried that Division's coming out. You got all these games in 2016 coming out, so Activision is getting a little worried. And
with good reason, though.
Bungie has nothing to show right now because it looks like how are we going to get Destiny 2 to live up to the hype when they're supposed to be releasing in September, and that's, what, 5 months away, whatever. I don't know. It just doesn't look good for Destiny right now.
Not at all. Not at all. Oh, and in other news, Taylor Swift is getting a new video game.
Yeah. It's a mobile game. Don't say video game.
It's a video game. Like,
don't say video
game. It's going to be a mobile. It's a Taylor Swift game, and bet you it's going to sell like hotcakes.
At least it's not Hannah Montana, all right?
Nope.
Just look at the bright side.
Hey, bro, you can get, what's her name, Miley Cyrus on a wrecking ball just smashing into buildings. It'll work.
Now, if the Taylor Swift game comes with The Rock doing lip sync, I may actually buy it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, are you guys familiar about what's up with June 28th?
What's going on June 28th?
Lego Star Wars, baby.
Lego Star Wars. I haven't read up enough on the Lego Star Wars.
The Force Awakens, right?
Yep. Yeah. It looks pretty hot, I'll tell you right now. I just know for a fact I want to play BB-8.
I got a question. I thought EA was the one that owned that Star Wars license for all Star Wars content.
Not for Lego content, though.
Not for Lego.
Lego
is its own master. Lego listens to no one else.
They still have to get the Star Wars license.
Well, of course they do.
Lego.
But they do a great job every time. That's why I wouldn't think they'd have a problem.
I want to play as Trader.
I mean, I know Disney doesn't need a license because they own it, so they can do their Disney Infinity stuff. They don't need to speak to nobody. But I thought EA had exclusive content on the Star Wars license for the other Star Wars
games. I have no idea. And when it comes to EA, I really don't give a shit. As long as the game comes out and it's good, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
Well, pretty much, the Vote to Play is back for March.
They might take you to court for ghosting your infringement.
I don't care. I want
Lego take me Star to court. Wars. Take none of my money. I ain't got
I
none.
I want Lego Star Wars: The Force Awakens to have Trader, and I want him to have a New York accent, and I want him to look at it and say, "Yeah, I got your lightsaber right here." That's what I want.
Come here, you fucking Mulian. I got your Trader right over here. Come on.
Anyways, so Vote to Play is back. So Vote to Play is back for March 2016 for the PS Plus lineup, and this is the first time that the three games that they're actually having you vote on are actually they look like a lot of fun.
And porn.
You got Action Hank, which I think playing with six or seven people would actually be pretty fun. That little lighthearted racer where you're the size of a toy and you're running on one of those like Hot Wheel tracks. That one actually looks pretty fun. It looks fun.
It does look fun.
It looks like fun. And then you have Assault Android Cactus. The thing is, when I started seeing the trailer, I'm like, oh, it's a little girl, like a little anime girl. And she's like, ooh, we got to shoot people or some shit like that. And I'm like, oh, this is going to suck. And then it goes into the gameplay, and it's a top-down shooter. And, dude, it looks fucking awesome.
Bro, Twin Mayhem. Shooter. That game looks sick.
Twin Stick Shooter. That's what I was trying to get at.
I love that kind of game.
But it really looks good. And then, of course, you got Broforce.
Broforce!
I mean,
that's Punisher's game right there.
Dude, yeah, right. It's got an online co-op experience. It's got the old school 8-bit style, but it looks like Aliens mixed with G.I. Joe mixed with Rambo and Terminator. It looks fun.
And A-Team.
And the yes. A-Team.
Put me in there as B.A. Baracus, bro. I'm all right.
To tell you the truth, any three of those games win, I would not be pissed. Like when I was when that robot piece of shit game, physic crap, came out. That everybody fucking voted for. What a piece of shit that was.
Oh, it's so artistic. It's so nice. Go fuck yourself. That was retarded. I don't like that game. No like.
Yeah.
Not so for you.
Well, we got all the new releases coming out on all the platforms. You got Albedo Eyes from Outer Space that already came out on Xbox One, but now it's coming out on PS4. So it's that first-person adventure game, you know, sci-fi movie, puzzle in space style. That it looks okay, but I got to get my hands on it.
I like the style, though. It reminds me of a couple of older games that I played that have that aesthetic. Looks nice.
You know what game I was pretty impressed by? Amazing Discoveries in Outer Space. When yes. I first started seeing it, I'm like, okay, this looks kind of weird. Just a little ship going around these little worlds, but the worlds look very artistically well done. It looks really nice. And then when I saw it land, like it's shooting through space, going through the galaxy, and landing on different worlds, and you can actually get out. And then I saw a part where the world was very dark, and all you see is the monster's eyes chasing the character. And I'm like, wow, this is well done.
Yeah.
Looks nice.
It looks really nice. So it's pretty much a physics-based space flight and platformer, I would say.
Sign me up.
Yeah. And then, of course, Gravity Rush. If you don't know about this game, you should check it out. But this version is remastered, and it's coming out on PS4. And it's pretty much your anime. If you're into anime and beautiful cartoon scenery, you'd love this game.
I like the aesthetic of the game. I like the graphic style of the game, the graphic direction. I also like the fact that they're including a soundtrack with it, because I love me some video game music, and this is really good music.
The thing is, I don't like it at $30, though. At $20, I like it. At $30?
Yeah. There you have a point.
Now, this game, Crypt of the Necrodancer. Man, this little game had me fucking laughing. It's an 8-bit rhythm-based dancing Saturday Night Fever hack-and-slash brawler. Like, that shit.
Sign me up for this one. I'll hold, you know, just sign me up. This one just looks out of hand.
It looks crazy.
I don't know about you guys, but I want to play that game while playing Safety Dance in the background.
That, you know what? That's a perfect way of saying it.
I can't help it. I see this game, and I see Diablo and Parappa the Rapper.
Yes.
I don't know why.
In a weird way, yes.
Top kick and hop kick on the brick.
Yes.
Okay, I can't believe you went with Papa the Rapper and Diablo.
In the
same sentence. Give me a better example.
In the same sentence it came out.
Like, those two games couldn't be any different from each other.
But you're dancing in a dungeon. Talk to me about that.
No, exactly. And it's like disco light happening in this in the dungeon, which is pretty crazy.
Oh, a beholder and a disco ball. That works.
I was thinking Patapon, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
That rhythm attack-based kind of game, but I guess it's different. Yeah, it's different.
It's a little different. But a game I'm really looking forward to, Not a Hero.
Yes.
This shit looks amazing. It looks amazing. It's coming out on the PS4, and it's only $13. This is a must-buy. A must-buy. It's an 8-bit style side-scroller on crack. On fucking crack. It's ridiculous how fucking awesome this game looks.
It's Devolver Digital. It's awesome.
Those guys do fucking good work, huh?
They do.
Dude,
it's awesome.
It's I couldn't believe what I was watching. I didn't even know you could do that with the 8-bit games.
I want to fight the Mafia Bunny. I want to fight him.
That's the big bad guy, Lord Bunny, isn't it?
Lord Bunny is his name, yeah.
I want to fuck him up.
I should buy it just because I'd be like, I'm playing with Lord Bunny.
Actually, I don't think... Do you get to play with him?
I don't know.
Maybe.
That'd be awesome.
All I know...
I mean, I saw like 7 different characters. I saw a chick with 2 swords smashing up people. I saw another guy bashing in through a high-rise window. And remind you, this is an 8-bit game. And he's wearing like a superhero suit. And then another guy that looked like Rambo. Like, it has so many different characters. It looked amazing.
Guys, Jesus Christ was in the game too?
Yes.
All I know is I can platform... slide, like butt slide, and shoot someone in the face at the same time. How can that not be awesome?
Yeah, exactly. Another game coming out, Cobalt. I love this developer, Fat Shark. It's pretty much you're a cute little robot that just wreaks havoc in this 2D side scroller, and it's got it almost has like bullet time if you look at it.
Yeah,
it's got like a co-op shoot with a shooting mechanic with two robots in it.
I mean, you see them jumping and rolling. I mean, aesthetically, it looks fucking awesome, but it's got that extreme slow-mo and that, and combat rolls, which is that it had me at extreme slow-mo.
So it's Max Payne turned into a side scroller.
Exactly.
Pick it up.
In versus, which means that we can, you know, test our friendships again.
Actually, you guys and your Helldivers.
Our
friendships are broken.
God.
I'm not gonna forget Killer for wiping the map in one blow.
He just ruined.
That's a very tough game, and I've loved that game, and I thought that was one of the games that I would have considered for best multiplayer.
It's fucking awesome.
It's great. But Digital Crack survived.
Yeah. Intact.
Barely, but it survived.
After all the arguing. And then, of course, you got Fortified that's coming out on Xbox One and PC. And it's a $15 game. It looks like it's from the 1950s. You're fighting aliens that are coming down. And it's like a tower defense third-person shooter. That's pretty much it. I don't know what else to say about it. It looks interesting enough, but for $15, I'm not 100% sure if I'd pick it up.
Are you guys noticing a trend that's going on in the video game world right now where you're either going to dance or shoot aliens somehow?
I think you should dance while shooting aliens.
And a different aesthetic, like the 60s and the 50s.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
You guys ever see an old Xbox game called Stubbs the Zombie?
Stubbs the Zombie.
It was a third-person shooter, and it had that aesthetic, and it was crazy as hell. It was a very funny game, and it had that 60s aesthetic with it. And he was an alien. Well, he was fighting aliens.
I remember the name. I don't remember the game.
That's not familiar.
But anyway, talking about aliens, XCOM 2.
Yes.
Coming out February 5th.
Yes.
And it's coming out on PC. I wish it would have came out on all the different platforms, but... Well, the PC people are going to be happy because that game looks amazing.
It's an awesome strategy franchise.
Yep. We don't have to say much about it. XCOM 1 was great.
Shooting aliens or dancing.
Or you could be aliens while dancing.
No, aliens have made a comeback. I think aliens are taking over the zombies for a little while.
I mean, have you seen Alien Isolation? Have you seen the game?
That game is sick.
That game is terrifying. Like, I won't play it.
I can't play that game alone. Maybe they paid me.
I won't play it.
That game is crazy. No, they had that. I've seen where people have played it in VR. Sorry, Joe. They played it in VR, and it looks even more insane.
We'll not play it. Sorry.
No.
Depends.
Everybody on this podcast is gutless.
No, I have plenty of guts. If you see me, you can tell they're all sticking out. I have plenty of guts. It's just that that game is scary.
It is scary. But anyways, that brings us to the end of the show, and we appreciate you guys as always for listening. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at Official Digital Crack. Follow us on Twitter at The Digital Crack. Subscribe to us on iTunes. It's called Digital Crack Podcast, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Podomatic, YouTube, and check out our revamped website, digitalcracknetwork.com. And join our community on PS4, Digital Crack Network. And please send in your emails, digitalcrackinc@gmail.com, and we'll answer you in a timely fashion. But we appreciate you guys as always, but we are out. Peace.